Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on AFR. You're listening to the program Today's Issues. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Walker, we got everything posted there on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
We do. I've posted a couple articles about Martin Luther, and the 95 Theses. Posted a couple One News Now articles about that. Very interesting. A lot of the history there. And then, of course, I posted some of the news stories that Fred talked about early on in the show.
Okay. So, Aaron, you can watch the show there too, right?
That's right. You can watch the show live each weekday.
And what are we going to be doing Thursday?
Thursday, we're going to be doing something new. We are going to actually be answering questions live on the show. And the way you can submit these questions is on the Facebook live feed on our Facebook page. You can just comment underneath the video and then, you know, ask your question, whatever it may be.
Will you be the moderator?
I will, and I'm going to make sure that you and Ed can see the questions also. Maybe y'all can pick some.
So Ed Battagliano will be here, and we'll be fielding questions from the from the audience.
From 11 to 11:30, from 11:05 to 11:30 Central on Thursday, we'll be taking questions.
All right. And Dr. Ray Pritchard is with us from Dallas. Ray hosts on Tuesdays and Thursdays with us when he can. And we've been talking about the Reformation and Martin Luther. Today's the 500th anniversary. Today is the 500th anniversary of the what's called the Protestant Reformation, which changed the Christian world. And we've been talking about that the last half hour or so. Steve Jordahl is now in with us.
Good morning and happy Reformation Day to you, Ray, and Tim, and Walker.
Thank you, Steve.
I heard your discussion with Sandy, and she was right. It is impossible to overestimate the importance of what happened 500 years ago today. Actually, according to Eric Metaxas, I'm reading his book on Martin Luther, this might not be the day that he actually pounded the propositions into the door of the Wittenberg Castle. He did mail a letter today, though, but it's just a lot less dramatic if you say that he mailed a letter.
right. Better
that's,
to than
that's he, according to Derek Metaxas, but very.
Oh, are you being serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
He mailed a letter. Was it via like horseback?
Well, he did nail or paste the 95 theses or propositions to the Wittenberg Castle church door. Mm-hmm. He did do that. Whether he did it on this day or not, that's what. Some historians are taking issue with. We do know he postmarked a letter on October 31st, or what is now October 31st, 1517.
So at least it was around this time.
Yeah, and it was a letter to one of his mentors. It was his first, I think it was one of his first letters that where he talked about or he sent these propositions, theological propositions, to out from. Mm-hmm. It was his, you know, so he posted it.
Ray, I have a question, and you may know this, you may not. Is there any connection? Halloween happens to fall on the 31st, which is when Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the church?
No direct connection. Although this typically in the Christian year, October 31st was called All Hallows Eve, and you can see how you can get from Hallows Eve to Halloween. Because in the church year, November 1st, tomorrow, is All Saints Day. That's the day when you remember that we believe in the communion of the saints. And talking about the reality of heaven and our loved ones who believed in Jesus, they have gone to be with the Lord. We still have communion with them there in heaven, we're on earth. That's November the 1st. And the day before in church history, you would stop and think about it. You would prepare to celebrate the fact that we believe in salvation and we believe in heaven and we believe in the communion of the saints. It became corrupted from All Hallows Eve to what we know as Halloween now, and there certainly were some pagan elements that were brought in. I think Luther chose this day not because of that, but because he had finished his document, and on this day he either mailed it or he nailed it, and he might have done both, right?
Right. I mean,
we're just not totally certain about it. We know he mailed it mailed that letter on the 31st, which basically this is the day that started the revolution. And he was not thinking of himself that day as a revolutionary at all. He was trying to spark a little scholarly debate, went far beyond that in the sovereignty of God.
He had a burden for the church, which was an error when it came to what are known as indulgences. We don't have to go into all that because I know we've got news and other things we want to get to, and you've already covered it. But he was just trying to be a good monk and offer a solution to a debate that was already occurring in the church.
Well, that's exactly right. It had to do with the church was trying to raise money to pay for St. Peter's Basilica, the rebuilding of it in Rome, and they needed money, and a good way to get money was these indulgences. And
they had a Kickstarter campaign.
They had a Kickstarter campaign. And in that day, that was a really effective way because if I use the word peasants, we're just talking about the common people of that day. Mm-hmm. They didn't know the Bible. They didn't know theology. They didn't have the word of God at their disposal. So what this guy Tetzel, who was Luther couldn't stand Tetzel because he was the guy in Luther's area selling these indulgences.
A carnival barker.
Thank you. A carnival barker. He was a bad guy. And they had that little thing that, you know, when the money hits the bottom, when it clinks the bottom of the collection plate, a soul from Purgatory Springs. And they made you, you know, who wouldn't give money to give Aunt Bessie out of purgatory and get her into heaven?
Or yourself.
That's right. It's a clever way to raise money and extremely corrupt.
Excuse me for injecting the Scooby-Doo, huh?
Huh?
But Stephen Ray, did I hear you just say that while I'm yet alive, I can pay forward to get myself out of purgatory? Should I go there?
Well, you can. You know, there was one funny story that there was a man who went to this preacher or to a similar preacher in a town, and this preacher was saying, if you give the church money, we will absolve you of sins that you're going to commit in the future.
Sin insurance.
Somebody fell for that?
Yeah, insurance.
The church was selling this, actually.
That's right. The church was doing this.
And somebody came into the and paid a bunch of money to the to this carnival barker to get his future sins committed. The guy the next day grabbed all the money he grabbed from that town and took off out of the town. And then this guy that had paid his indulgence stopped him, mugged him, and took all the money back and said, "This was the sin I was paying for."
That sounds like a country song right there.
It does, but it was
it does.
It's true.
That's what was happening.
Yeah.
You could buy your way out of future sins you plan to commit. Luther didn't like that. President, he was right.
Quite the marketing plan.
Yeah.
Somebody had going on for that business. Hey, I got an idea. We scare the HE double hockey sticks out of them. And yeah. With money, that's
yeah.
what we.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, this is Reformation Day. That's when we've been discussing this. All right, let's talk about the here and now. I don't have anything to sell, by the way. But I do have something to report. According to the Drudge Report, the U.S. economy is doing pretty well. Steve,
Here's
I'll just read the headline right now from Drudge. It says, "Great again. Consumer confidence soars! Home prices reach all-time high. Economy beats expectations." And it's got a picture of President Donald J. Trump. On
Friday, we learned that the GDP of this country has grown by more than 3%, beating expectations. And if you've been watching, you'll know that the stock market has been on a tear like none other, reaching record after record after record. Yesterday, it took a little bit of a hit, but...
How do you explain this?
Well, there is a lot of optimism. There's a lot of it having to do with the fact that Donald Trump's policies tend to bring money and business back in. More business in the country is better for the economy. They say that the stock market it doesn't really pick winners and losers like that, but it does love stability. Mm-hmm. So yesterday, the reason that the market tanked a little bit is because Congress is considering phasing in corporate tax deductions instead of giving them all at once. And then the market didn't like that. But basically, the Trump economic plan is good for business. and like he says, and no matter how much Democrats and liberals and his enemies want to spin it, follow the money in this case, and it's really good money.
Walker, this seems more to me about two things. One is President Trump is having a real tangible effect on deregulation,
mm-hmm.
all right,
yeah.
in different areas. Liberals would scream, deregulation is going to hurt our environment and our people and everything like that. But the business community in America likes deregulation because how many times do you hear it out there where people say, it's too expensive to go into business because I have to meet all these regulations.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They got everybody looking over my shoulder about everything. Mm-hmm. So deregulation, which is can be impacted by the executive branch of the government mm-hmm. without congressional approval. So he doesn't have to fight with the Democrats on that.
Right.
Number two is just confidence, as Steve said, confidence. In other words, most Americans say, with respect to business and the economy, they like a businessman being in the White House,
right?
Who has the best interest of the American business community at heart. So, I don't know how you measure. The only ways you measure confidence is by asking people, and I guess they're being asked.
Well, there's ways that you can tell consumer confidence by how they're spending their money.
Mm-hmm.
Are they saving it? Are they putting it away in a savings account because they think they're going to need it?
Right.
Or are they going out and they're spending it at the mall? And that is a gauge of consumer confidence.
This is not good news for the Democrats who want to attack President Trump. They're going to have to not focus on the economy. They're going to have to focus on some other things.
Well, and you don't hear them talking a whole lot about it.
A lot of people may not understand how this works, but the business environment really looks to the Oval Office on their decision making, because big businesses want to at least kind of play to whoever's in the White House, because it may can lead to future benefits, whether it be grants, or tax deductions to build a plant in this state or whatever. So you've seen CEOs that are going to the White House, like Ford and others, who are building plants in the U.S. Which you ask, why are they choosing that now? Why didn't they do that 12 months ago under President Obama? Well, it's because they didn't have the confidence, and they didn't have the relationship with the White House like they do now. And one other thing that I'll mention is the EPA is just in the coal industry alone. They're pulling back all these regulations that prevent coal companies from expanding into West Virginia and other states, that these companies are finally able to work and make money, and so they're doing so.
You mentioned businesses. The other aspect of that is under Obama and under Bush before him, and for a long time, the United States has had one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world. And that President Trump is saying he's going to lower that, and that will bring more. And Ray, of course, as a savvy businessman, you probably know that there's never been a business in history in this country that's ever paid any tax, because they simply pass it on to their consumers.
Well, that's exactly right. And I was listening to a discussion and thinking the best thing the president has going for him right now is a booming economy. People vote their pocketbooks. All this stuff about, we get down into the details about Russian collusion and all this, this other stuff. But America's a bread and butter
mm-hmm.
kind of nation. And if the economy is continuing to do well in 2018, the Republicans are going to be just fine. I think the same is true in 2020. So whatever other problems the president has, he has kept his promise to get the economy going, because it is roaring.
Yeah, and he hasn't really had any legislative victories yet. He's hoping to get the tax changes made, which will spur the economy. That's what President Trump would say, and the Republicans would say will happen. But even without that now, I guess in anticipation of that, a lot of good things are happening economically. But, I was reading the stock market will go down at some point.
It has
okay?
to. I mean, it will.
Whatever goes up must come down. So it'll come down sometime. Everybody has the adjustments that have to be made.
Correction,
they call it on Wall Street. So that'll happen. But now, according to a gentleman by the name of, he's the S&P Dow Jones Indexes Managing Director. That's this gentleman's title. He's an expert on the economy, and on business. The S&P Dow Jones Indexes Managing Director, his name is David Blitzer, and I'm reading from the CNBC website. He says, quote, home price increases appear to be unstoppable. He said, home prices have reached new all-time highs.
Well, I'm selling my house, so let's hope that's correct.
Well, I want to know where this guy was 2 years ago when I had to sell mine for a loss on what I, you know, not a loss, but I mean,
yeah.
it quit, you know, it had to be adjusted from the 2008 economy crash there. But Ray, this is all this. It's pretty much all good news for the economy, and that reflects well. I've often said, and I'll say it again, you know, I think presidents get too much credit and too much blame, whoever they are, Democrats or Republicans,
right.
for
right.
the economy. But that's the way it is. And people hold whoever the sitting president is accountable for the economy, whether he had anything to do with it or not. But I guess in the case of President Trump, you could say, you know, his ideas are his philosophy of business and the economy are what's driving the confidence, which makes people
call him whatever you want. But he knows, and he's been in business his whole life and done very, very well.
Right. He's not an ideologue. We've talked about that before. He's a pragmatic New York businessman, and the markets have really responded to what he has said. So, well, I was just thinking, you know, compare it, say, New York and Los Angeles. Or California, come here to Texas. Texas is booming. No state income tax and basically good services. It's a good place to live. Dallas, in terms of the housing market, Dallas is a seller's market all the way and has been. There's a reason people are moving out of these high tax states like Illinois, California, New York, and coming into the Sun Belt. It's because it's a much better economic climate. And I think to the extent that the president can move this across the country, it's going to set things up well for the 2018. I don't think this Comey Russian collusion stuff is going to come to anything as long as the economy stays like it is.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker and Steve and Ray, and you can check out our show on our Today's Issues Facebook page if you want to and watch the show there live or comment. Walker's posting the stories that we're talking about today on the program. Speaking of news stories, this out of New Jersey, on October the 27th, several players from Monroe High in New Jersey kneeled during the national anthem before the game against another high school. A referee and his son, a line judge, then stormed off the field, according to this story. So you had this. I wondered when this would happen, and maybe it's happened other places and I just haven't seen it. But you had some high school players take a knee following the pros, the NFL players. And these referees who were there for the high school game, two of them at least, a father son, said, "You know what? We're not going to referee this game if these young players are going to disrespect our country and our flag." And anyway, the New Jersey State are you putting this story on our Facebook page?
Yes, sir.
The New Jersey State Interscholastic Athletic Association, who I guess is the governing body over the
high school athletics.
Said, quote, I've been in New Jersey interscholastic sports for 48 years, and I've never seen an official walk off the field unless there was an injury or an illness. It's unprecedented. Anyway, I don't know if what'll happen. Do you know any more about this story?
I don't know how they played the game. I don't know how. I mean,
they got the guys who were doing the chains.
They did?
Yeah, and they put them on the field. Who were doing the first down markers? They filled in for the two guys who walked off.
Well, they'll probably be fired. I don't know, but I will say this, and they probably knew that they might be. But you know, they're offended that these kids are disrespecting the country,
right?
And the flag, and what it stands for. And so they're using their position to say, you know, I'm not going to participate in this, just like I guess the kids do.
Right.
Or the NFL players do. They aren't participating in the national anthem. So I don't think this is widespread in the high school ranks.
It's good. It's getting there. I mean,
it is.
You can't find a young person who
it's not in college. It's not in college. I'll tell you that. They're not doing
those,
it.
Those guys are on scholarship. They right. have a lot to lose in college, I think.
You start having college players taking a knee during the national anthem, it'll kill you.
It's just like it's killing the NFL.
Right. Yeah. And it would probably be worse at a college level.
It has not happened yet in the World Series, has it? I was looking to see. I don't. There's
been one baseball player to date, Ray, and it was, to my chagrin, an Oakland Athletic catcher that knelt during the national anthem. His penchant for truth has since been called into question based on some other incidents in his life, but only one person in baseball has done that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm reading down through the story, which I had not read the whole story. I apologize, but I don't know all that it transpired there. But I do know that the point was the referee and his son felt like they're not going to be participants in a high school football game where the players are allowed to disrespect the country like
that. You know, Tim, you could go to the Today's Issues Facebook page and read that whole article.
The reason I'm saying that is I guess there was one report that one of these referees screamed at the players or something like that. I wouldn't do that.
You can't do that.
I wouldn't do that. You know, I wouldn't condone that, but I'm just saying the reason they walked off the field is because they were, they love the country and they didn't want to see it disrespected that way. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. The difference, the referees, this is all a culture of kind of anarchy. I don't like this, so I'm quitting. I'm leaving. I'm kneeling. And I don't care what y'all say, I'm kneeling. And that's the kind of – I mean, the refs are kind of taking the same mentality. Y'all are going to disrespect the country. I'm not reffing the game. I'm leaving.
Right. They'll probably be fired. You can't fire
– I think so.
They'll probably be fired for doing so. But they probably knew the consequences would be
– Yeah. That's what's unfortunate if they happen to get fired is, folks can kneel and disrespect our country, but folks can't – object.
Right. Well, we'll see. Maybe they got a union that'll protect them. I don't know. But, the NFL, they're down to like 20 players there and actually kneeling outside of Houston, Texas, right?
Yeah, and it would have burned itself out a long time sooner had not the president decided to take a stand on it as well. So a lot of it turned into anti-Trump.
So it wasn't conviction. It was just protesting the president.
You got to wonder.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then they protested the Houston Texans protesting their owner.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, he said something. Can't let the inmates run the prison.
Isn't he the guy that signs the checks, to speak?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then what, the whole team in Seattle took a knee or something like that in protest of him. You know what? If you're gonna allow for and what the fella meant, the owner of the Texans, he meant that's a common expression. You ever heard the expression? Don't let the inmates run
the
asylum.
Right. It's an expression.
It means you can't let the people who are subordinate run a place that you have a boss to answer to. Basically, that's all he was saying. But it was anyway. Well, the Game 7 of the World Series, not Game 6 of the World Series, happens tonight.
Yep.
And Houston Astros at
Los Angeles Dodgers.
Who are you picking, Tim?
Well, no. I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan, so I really don't care. But I'm rooting for the Houston Astros because of all they went through with the hurricane. So I guess they're kind of America's sympathy team.
They got Verlander on the mound.
Yeah, and great pitching on both sides.
Yeah.
So Game 6 tonight in Los Angeles. Maybe there'll be a Game 7. Or if I'm guessing from the Astros, I hope there isn't. I don't know. We'll figure that out tomorrow. See you later, folks. Have a great day.